It's been a long time since one political party jumped on, really stomped on, a sitting president the way the Republicans did last week in San Diego. This afternoon, Dan Rather sat down with President Clinton in the White House and looked at the rough political week that was.
Mr. President, again, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
How are you feeling crossing 50?
Grateful, good. I just finished a wonderful family vacation, and Hillary and I were marveling about how fast the years had gone and how proud we were of our daughter and how fortunate we've been, so I feel very good.
Well, let's talk politics. You're 50, Bob Dole is 73. Is he too old to be president?
I don't think that age should determine it. I think a man who's 73 in good health can do the job. You'd maybe have to make some modifications, maybe not do it exactly the way I've done it, but the main thing is whether the ideas are old or new. And I think that my ideas for the future are better, and that's the thing I want to fight the election on. The age issue to me is not a big thing. That's something that voters, of course, will make their own minds up about, but to me it's not a big issue.
Now, some of your staff members, not by name, have been saying, yes, the president thinks Bob Dole is a nice person and has been a pretty good leader in some ways, but, say they, he's been captured by the extremists in the Republican Party, the radical part of the Republican Party, including Newt Gingrich. Is that what you think?
Well, I don't know about captured or not. I believe that this would be a very different country if he had been president the last 4 years, and would be a very different country depending on which one of us becomes president for the next four. I don't want this campaign to be fought out on insults. I want it to be fought out on ideas, on the record, on the results, on the future. That's what I think we ought to fight it out on.
That's what you'd like to have it fought out on. You said you didn't see the Republican convention. Here are some of the things that they were saying about you.
I can hardly wait.
Senator Dole said,
"It is demeaning that to the nation that within the Clinton administration, a core of the elite who never grew up, never did anything real, never sacrificed, never suffered, and never learned, should have the power to fund with your earnings their dubious and self-serving schemes."
I suppose he's talking about the White House and the fact that we have a lot of young people who work here. Most of them work very hard and do a very, very good job, and they really have made a contribution to us. But in this White House staff, we also have Leon Panetta, a seasoned former member of Congress, son of an Italian immigrant walnut farmer, a man who I think would generally be conceded to be one of the most successful chiefs of staff in the last several decades. We've had Bob Rubin, who made a great career on Wall Street on the staff, now the Secretary of Treasury. We had General Barry McCaffrey, a hero of the Gulf War, our commander in the southern part of the globe, now leading our fight against the drugs. So I think we've had a very well-balanced staff, and I think I don't feel the need to criticize him or his people in that way. Did we get results or not? We do have 10 million more jobs. We do have 1.3 million fewer people on welfare. We do have a declining crime rate for 4 years in a row. We're putting these 100,000 police on the street. We have kept 60,000 felons, fugitives, and stalkers from getting handguns because of the Brady Bill. Senator Dole led the fight against the Brady Bill, led the fight against the crime bill, led the fight against the family and medical leave law. Now, I think these young people who believed in the approach that I took were right, and he was wrong. And I think the American people are better off because I was here, and the people who were working with me were here, and he wasn't. That's what I believe.
Also at the convention, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, senator from Texas.
Candidate Clinton promised to restore ethics in government. President Clinton put a former bar bouncer in charge of confidential FBI files.
Senator Hutchinson, I like her, but she didn't have one of her better nights, apparently. I didn't see it. But what I heard about it made me glad I was on vacation. I hope that this election will be fought out on the record, the differences in our decisions over the last 4 years, because the American people know, and the differences in our ideas going forward. And that's what I'm going to try to focus on at our convention. I want it to be focused not on the Democrats or the Republicans, but on the American people, the citizens, and where we're going together.
But you said your hope is that it can be fought out on the issues. But one more thing from the convention I'll give you a chance to respond to. As you must know, whether you watch the convention or not, the Republicans fired a number of shots at the First Lady. Some samples. Former President George Bush. He said, quote, Mrs. Bush upheld the honor of the White House, and she did it with class and style and caring and love.
She did it with class and style and caring and love. My wife of 51 years, Barbara Bush.
I don't know of anybody in the convention hall who didn't take that as a shot at the difference between the present First Lady and the former First Lady.
Well, I believe that everyone who knows my wife believes she has class, style, caring, and love. If you read this, this wonderful book that she wrote, Takes a Village, that became a number one bestseller for many weeks, it's really a chronicle of her whole adult life's work. Now, she was a different sort of person than many First Ladies have been. She had had a career. She had established a national reputation as a child advocate. She had tried to find a way to juggle being a mother as well as being a wife and being a public person and having a private law practice. And she'd never been subject to any of this sort of criticism to speak of until she became my partner in this great endeavor. And you know, a lot of folks have been working on her 4 or 5 years now, and I think she's held up rather well. I'm very proud of her. And I think when history looks back at her and the impact she had on women and young girls, particularly in this country and all around the world, that incredible speech she gave on all our behalfs at the Beijing Conference on Women, the things that young women say to me when I go around the country who are just starting their lives out, the things that women my age and older say to me about Hillary, I feel very good about that. And yes, she's been a controversial character, and when she tried to deal with the health care issue, I guess it made her more of a target as well. But
don't you get mad, Mr. President, when this sort of thing happens?
Well, I try not to, because I don't think it serves any real purpose. All I can tell you is that if you asked me what I was most grateful for at the age of 50, it would not be being president. I'd be most grateful for the years I've had with Hillary and the years I've had with Chelsea. And I know her better than anybody does, and I'm real proud of her.
Let's talk about taxes. You know what the Republicans say. They're saying it almost every hour on the hour. You can't trust Bill Clinton. If he gets a second term, he is going to raise your taxes. Are you prepared here and now to say you won't raise taxes in a second term?
Well, I'm prepared here and now to say I'll do what I did in 92. I'll try to do everything I say that I'm going to do in this campaign. And I have absolutely no intention of raising taxes. I have a plan that will balance the budget and provide a tax cut. What they're really trying to do is to make people overlook what they did. Senator Dole has voted for a lot more taxes than I ever did. Mr. Gingrich once called Senator Dole the tax collector for the welfare state. And so now he's had a change of heart, and he's going back to this old theory that you can cut taxes and you don't have to find a way to pay for it. Now, I am for a tax cut, but it's targeted the middle class. It's targeted to education and to child rearing. And just this week, I'm going to sign the minimum wage bill, which has even more tax relief for small business in it. Tax relief I have strongly supported from the beginning. We can cut taxes, but what they want to do is to blow a hole in the deficit a mile wide. They're going to blow a $400 or $500 billion hole in the deficit by promising this big tax increase with no way to pay for it, tax cut, excuse me, with no way to pay for it. And what I want the American people to remember is what it was like before. When I took office, we had a $290 billion annual deficit. We had quadrupled the debt of this country in 4 years. Interest rates were high. Now, what's going to happen to ordinary people is, if they pass this tax cut and they let the deficit go up, interest rates will go up, everybody's car payment, home payment, credit card payments will go up, and the economy will go down and we'll have fewer jobs. If they do try to pay for their tax cut, they'll have even bigger cuts in Medicare, Medicaid, education, the environment, technology, research, the things we need to grow the economy and go forward together than in the bills that I vetoed. So that's really, all this is smoke and mirrors. They don't have any evidence of any great lust for taxes on my part.
But are you willing to pledge you won't raise taxes?
I'm willing to pledge right now that I have no intention of raising taxes. I know of no reason why we would have a tax increase. And I have never been a person who believed in just general tax increases. Even when I was governor, if we ever raised taxes, it was for a specific purpose that had overwhelming public support. Now, and as president, when we put that 93 plan in, let's go back and look at that. The income tax increase was on the top 1.3% of the American people. Almost 99% of the American people had no income tax increases. We did everything we could to minimize the tax burden on ordinary citizens. And as I said, we gave a big income tax cut to families making $28,000 a year or less. The percentage of people's income today in America, on average, going to federal taxes is less than it was when I became president. So I have no record as a big taxer. Senator Dole has voted for a lot more taxes than I have. He's just looking for this. This is his sort of, this 15% cut here. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, he says. Is playing havoc with America's future. I do not have any intention of promoting a tax increase. But Senator Dole once said, he said something that I admired when he was in New Hampshire once, that a president could never know what emergencies might confront the country. So I don't want to wind up here with some sort of huge national emergency where, you know, 90% of the people are saying, Mr. President, you have to do something, which might require us to raise some money, and me say, oh, well, I promise not to do anything ever. But I can tell you, I have no plans to raise taxes. My plan is to enact my tax cut to balance the budget, to grow the economy, to leave enough money left to invest in education, the environment, technology, research, and to protect the fundamental obligations we have through Medicare and Medicaid and grow this country together into the 21st century.
The 15% tax cut is the heart of their strategy to win. But it is very closely welded to one of their other major themes, which is, and this is basically the way they put it, it's his character, stupid.
I don't believe, frankly, that the Republicans could do anything to damage my character. They may be able to attack my reputation, but God is the ultimate judge of people's character, and he knows all facts, and nobody can twist the news, and there's no angle there. The Republicans, from the moment I began running, saw that I was a different sort of Democrat, had a different philosophy, wanted to break out of this debate, and they have been working very hard on me and on Hillary and on anybody else they could work on. They practice the politics of destruction. They like that. And they're good at it, and it makes good print. But after all the smoke is cleared here, they still have no evidence that I have ever done anything wrong. Now, however, I leave that to the American people to decide. They can make up their own minds about that. All I know is I get up here every day and I try to do what's right to build a better future for this country. And that's what I want this election to be about. Do they deserve a president that has good character? You bet they do. And they'll be able to judge it. We've been making these judgments for over 200 years. But in the last several years, we've gotten way too far off, I think, into just personal destruction. And when I received reports about the Republican convention, I told our people, I said, I do not want any snide remarks made about any of those people. I don't want any sort of negative personal asides. I don't want anybody saying, well, why haven't you worked on them the way you worked on us? I don't want to hear that. I want this to be about ideas, not insults, about the records of the two candidates, about the positions of the two candidates, and about the future. I have nothing bad to say about Bob Dole's character, and I think that they have not served themselves or America well by this relentless partisan effort they've made for all these years to go after me and the First Lady and others. I don't think that serves the country well, and I don't want us to do it.
To be fair, we invited Bob Dole to appear on 60 Minutes and give us his reaction to the Democratic convention. He says he'll let us know next week.